We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Red Sox Review, and it starts right now. Here's your host, Cooper Boardman, on WEEI.
It is Red Sox Review, and it's right here on WEEI. Cooper Boardman back with you from Fenway Park, where the Red Sox have just lost 6-2 against the Tampa Bay Rays. Welcome back. Welcome to it. Welcome, welcome, welcome. 617-779-7937. 617-779-7937. The text line open as well, 37937. Interested and excited and maybe a little bit nervous to hear what you have to say here today after what was really just kind of a flat loss for the Red Sox. You know, it's been a long few days of baseball. We have fought through some rain. We have fought through some elements. We have it's just been a lot going on here the last few days, and that doesn't even begin to talk about what we came on the air talking about today with the injuries to Chris Sale and all sorts of things. That's before we get into the drop fly balls from yesterday and all that. But today was just kind of, it just felt like a little bit of a tired day today for the Boston Red Sox, which over the course of 162 is absolutely going to happen. But this was a 1-1 game after three. You're feeling, you know, decent after Masataka Yoshida's game-tying single. He continues to hit. We'll talk about that. And from that moment on, the Tampa Bay Rays, in a game that was sluggish, was a fight, did not have a single home run. None of the games in this series have had a home run for two teams, especially for Tampa, that have hit a good number of them to this point in this season. The Tampa Bay Rays look like the best team in baseball. And the thing about being the best team in baseball, and the Red Sox certainly have seen this going to Tropicana Field, and we've seen it obviously over the last few days as well for the Rays, is on all days, when you're the best team in baseball, you play that way. And that's what that is the stark contrast today between Tampa and everybody else. And for the Red Sox, it was a defensive, and we're going to hear from Alex Cora in a moment here. We're about to hear from the manager of the Boston Red Sox here in a second. I imagine that much of the conversation is going to be about this defense, but the idea that this team, beyond the offensive struggles, beyond what they're trying to figure out with the pitching staff, I think all of that truly pales in comparison to the defense. Because the reality of this is, it's really hard to hit, and it's really hard to pitch, and it's hard to do that over the course of 162. The Red Sox, by most statistical measures, have been a top five offense in all of Major League Baseball. By most statistical measures, they have overperformed in the bullpen, and the starting rotation has pitched a little bit better than it did, not that that's the highest bar in the world, over the last few weeks. But the defense is the thing that, and every manager will tell you this, every fundamental person in the entire world will tell you this, is the controllable of those three. And for the Boston Red Sox, over the last 5 days, including today, errors included, but even beyond that, it's a problem. You kind of go through it, right? So it's not even just the errors. And to be clear, it is in part about the errors, the 13 that Kike Hernandez has made it short, despite kind of what we thought that he might be in spring training. If you remember back in spring training, the positivity about his defensive work was, I mean, we talked about it and we felt good about it. And there was really not a lot to suggest that it wasn't going to be good, but just hasn't been that way. And it's not, he didn't commit an error today at short, but certainly yesterday is firmly implanted, I think, in every Red Sox fan's brain. And Alex Cora in his pregame media today alluded to it, just about plays that you can't make. You can't throw across your body like that when you're moving towards second base as he did yesterday. But it's other things. It's a throw that probably shouldn't have been made in center field in the third inning that allowed Yandy Diaz to go deeper in his scoring position. It was that play in the top of the sixth inning where that had a carousel music underneath it, the way that it was. You know, the throw to the plate and then to center, and at the end of the day, it ends up and two runs for the Rays on what is not necessarily an inside-the-park home run, but is by definition a Little League home run. And these are just things that they just cannot happen. And good teams, it just doesn't work that way. And, you know, I'm not saying anything the Red Sox don't know. I'm not saying anything that anybody doesn't know sitting here watching this team. And that is what is most frustrating, is that it's so obvious. You know, Alex Cora 5 days ago sat down in front of the microphone, and again, we're about to hear from him, and I imagine that he's going to sit down and do something similar. He said the literal quote, "We are not a good defensive team." And there are a number of different problems with that, and it is the idea, and he's talked about this too, that this is a pitching staff that, generally speaking, pitches to contact. And so if there are balls in play, you have to trust the people behind you to make those plays, or else it comes to a head. And we have really seen it against a good team, a team that you cannot afford to hand extra gifts to, a team that you cannot afford to do anything but play perfect baseball and then still hope you can beat them. They've made it far too easy for the Rays over the last few days. And it's also why, instead of, you know, getting into the seventh, eighth, and ninth innings in what is a one or a two-run game, and then, okay, Alex Cora can do what he does so well and play the matchups and go with the platoon splits and use his bench and all of these things, none of that is possible because you've allowed them to inflate their lead, and all of a sudden you're now reliant upon big swings, which this is an offense that, despite being very good and leading the league in doubles and all of that, is not a home run offense the way that the offense in the other dugout is. And so it's just a combination of a lot of things, and boy, it manifests itself into a lot of frustration today here at Fenway Park. Red Sox review, roll it along, 617-779-7937. The text line as well at 37937. Cooper Boardman here with you a Sunday afternoon. All right, we have Alex Cora. He is at the podium and on the mic. And after a 6-2 loss today against the Tampa Bay Rays, we want to take you right there. So let's go to it. The manager of the Red Sox, Alex Cora.
They had a great baseball play. He took off, grumbled a second, and that happened. And that's, you know, it's not good baseball, bottom line.
At the start of the play, what is Kelfer doing or need to do?
Charge it as hard as possible and get into the infield. You know, that's all you can do. The coach, you know, he sees the play. It's a gamble, to be honest with you. If you make two good throws, you get him out of the plate. And we didn't do that. Oh, because he's covering second. You know, the guy takes off, you got to cover second. Yeah.
And on the play,
JT was just late to the bag. Yeah. I mean, possible bunt. He's easy. Took a step forward, and then to get back, he was late. But, you know, that one happens in a sense, you know. Like, but the other one, and then we threw the ball away to second, and we were just watching, like, the rest of the 35,000 people here.
Alex, how much do you kind of talk to some inexperienced guys playing
the center position? No. That's not it. You know, in this game, you got to be locked in every play. You know, it happened early in the game, right? Fly ball to center field. Man's in a corner. We threw to the plate. We have no chance at the plate. The guy advanced, and before the play, you have to put everything in perspective. You got to see it, you know, and what's worth it and what's not, you know. And then the odds of getting a guy out against, you know, the next play in the game, right? So we keep the game at first, one out with Tanner on the mound, ground ball. We got out of the inning. So it's all that stuff that you have to think before it happens, you know. And we got to keep preaching good defense. We got to coach them. At the end, it's on me. You know, I'm the manager of this club, and we've been sloppy. So, you know, it's not about pointing fingers, right? You know, the roster is a roster, and we have to play better baseball. But, you know, I'm the manager of this team, and, you know, defensively, we're not good. We're not, you know, and we keep working. We're going to show up early, and we're going to keep talking to plays, and we're going to coach the players until we get it right. When? I don't know. You know, if it's tomorrow, it's 59 games too late. You know, but we just got to keep going and keep going until we do it. You know, the difference between them and us right now, base running defense and throwing strikes. That was the game today. And we saw it, you know, although they walked six. So, but it's something that we got to keep pushing these guys to be better. You know, right now we're one game over 500, who we are, you know, like, and, you know, tomorrow's getting 60, and it's, you know, we're in the middle. I mean, not in the middle of the season, but you know what I mean. Like, the season is going now, and everybody's picking it up, and we have to pick it up. And we can talk about winning series and all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. You know, this division is not easy. And we've been, for stretches, we've been good. For stretches, we've been bad. And in other ones, we've been okay. And I think at the end, we just got to be better.
The mental lapses, I'm sure, are harder to accept than, you know, Massa bobbling the ball. That's a physical.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah. That,
when there's a lack of awareness or
that's hard. That's hard. You know, and that's the reason you got to grab and talk to them, show them, you know, talk about the play, get everybody together. This is what happened here. Let's make it better next time. Maybe tomorrow, right? I mean, I don't know, to be honest with you. Like, we just got to be better. You know, we'll talk about it, and we're going to keep practicing, and we're going to keep, you know, changing things to be better. At the end, you know, we have to do it at 7 o'clock, at 1 o'clock, or 4 o'clock. You know, I don't want to sound pessimistic or negative, but we have to do it. We can talk all the talk. We can say that we're better than this and all that, but at the end, we have to be better. We have to go out there and perform. And there are certain areas in this team that is better than last year, you know. And but the defensive part of it, we have to improve. We have to do it. Think the walks, obviously, put him in a bad spot. I think stuff-wise, he was really good. I think he tried to come in off the play with Rayleigh at the last double down the line. He put a good swing on it and just hit it down the line. But overall, he was okay, you know. Like, it wasn't bad it wasn't as bad as the line says.
Do you guys have a chance to map out anything with Arroyo?
No. We'll talk right now.
Alex, remember that the sixth inning does happen like that in the moment. What is your reaction? Frustration, disappointment?
Not just watching, you know, and like just thinking about what happened and how can we fix it. And you look at the video and then go from there, you know. Hey, man, I'm the first one that gets happy when they do well. And then when that happened, I'm just trying to, like, think about it and how we're going to teach this. It's a learning moment for how bad it is, right? And we just got to go over it again and talk about it. And that's what I'm thinking right there. Yeah, yeah. A lot of Spanish thoughts.
Is this anything you talked to
Coop
about after the game?
No. We'll talk tomorrow. We got our family day today. Just hang out with the family, enjoy it, you know. And tomorrow, as we always do, we talk before the game, and we show them certain plays, and we learn from it.
Okay. The manager of the Boston Red Sox, Alex Cora, right there. This is Red Sox Review live from Fenway Park. Cooper Boardman here with you, 617-779-7937. And the text line open as well at 37937. That is a lot to unpack there from Alex Cora. And he's saying a lot of the same things that we are saying. A lot of the things that Joe Castiglione and Will Fleming said while this game was going on. And everything I'm thinking about right now, and that is this defense that just cannot be the way that it is if this team wants to come close to accomplishing what it hopes it will. And, you know, again, it is the controllable. And I think, you know, generally speaking, when you listen to Alex Cora, and we hear him a lot before and after every single game, he is generally not as visibly frustrated as he was there. You could hear it in his voice how he feels about what unfolded in front of him here today. And so, you know, it is frustration, and you understand why. Because, as he put it, I'm the manager of this team, and it's not good enough. And the reality is again, and it is very simple when you put it this way, team on the other side's far too good. You just cannot give that team, the Tampa Bay Rays, the best team in baseball, the one that has now won 41 games, the first of that number in all of Major League Baseball, what they gave them today. You know, and Alex Cora said it, if it's tomorrow, if they fix it tomorrow, it's 59 games too late, and it's a problem. And it's just really hard to win if you don't run the bases well and if you don't play good defense, because the game is hard enough as it is. It is so, we've seen this over the last couple of years, how hard it is, you know, for the Red Sox to hit and to pitch consistently over 162. And if you are allowing the third of those things to waver, your life becomes a lot harder. And there are a lot of things that I walk out saying about that. You know, the idea that, and he said it earlier, you know, everybody's picking it up. We have to, too. And, you know, just thinking about that, right? And again, this division is not easy. The Red Sox are sitting here, just to be clear, one game over 500. They have not been a bad team. As Alex Cora just put it there to us, they are a better team than they were a year ago in a lot of different areas. But when you sit there and you look around Major League Baseball, and you look really within this division, you've got the team that you played on the other side today that is going atomic on just about everybody, especially after that start to the year. The Rays are 42-19. Then you have the Orioles, who are 4.5 behind the Rays. They are 14 games over 500. The Yankees had a great month of May, and they've split the first two here in June. And then the Blue Jays, who had a horrific month of May, have turned around and delivered just an outstanding weekend for them this weekend in New York. They swept the Mets, and now all of a sudden they find themselves now 2.5 games clear in this exact moment of the Red Sox. The point is not so much an indictment on this Red Sox team or to say that they are not good or can't or anything like that, but it is to say, and Alex Cora said it right there, everybody else, it is a rising tide, right? All of these other teams continue to play better and better and better baseball. You are in a division, and this is not new news to anybody, but you're sitting here in a division that is by far the best in baseball. The Red Sox, in this moment, would be 1.5 games behind the Minnesota Twins for first place. They would be in third place, or right around it, not that far off from second, in the American League West. And that's even before I get to even start to talk about the National League Central or anything like that. And so it's just a hard situation to be in, but it's a situation that you're in. And so when you tie it back to what the defense is here, those are the kinds of things that you actually have control over. And it's got to change, and it's got to change now. And Alex Cora, I mean, that might as well be a quote from what he just sat down and said. And that sitting here right now on a day like today, on a game like this, against a team like that, is, I think, what has the manager of the Red Sox most frustrated, and you heard it again right there. Okay, it's Red Sox Review right here on WEEI. We're live at Fenway Park. Cooper Boardman here with you. Got the great Justin Turpin in our flagship studios as well. 617-779-7937. Text line. We'll get to your text in a moment at 37937. We'll hit a break. We'll get you back. We are taking it up till 6 p.m. There's a lot to get into. Want to talk about Tanner Houck and where he fits in this rotation, what we learned about him today, and also want to get into kind of maybe one fix or two fixes for an offense that has muddled through the last couple of days as well. We'll get to that. All that coming up again, 617-779-7937. We're back in a moment right here on Red Sox Review on WEEI.
WEEI, WEEI, New England Sports Original.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, They're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
From the WEEI studios, the home of the Red Sox, 93.7 WEEI-FM HD1, Lawrence, Boston. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Everything Boston Red Sox. This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Welcome back to Fenway Park. It's Red Sox Review. It's a little guitar on your way back on a rainy day. It just kind of feels that way. And felt that way for the Red Sox today. 6-2 loss against the Tampa Bay Rays as we welcome you back. Cooper Boardman with you. 617-779-7937. And the text line open as well at 37937. I'm reading all of these texts, people talking about the frustration in Alex Cora's voice. And again, if you weren't with us a moment ago, we did play it, and we'll have a little bit of it for you a little bit later on here on Red Sox Review. But you heard it again in Alex Cora's voice. Just, they're fighting it right now from a defensive perspective, and it feels like the thing that he needs to, you know, that they can control. And so if you don't, it's, again, I said this multiple times, I'll say it one more time and then we can kind of put it to bed just for a second here. If you cannot play good defense, your life just becomes that much harder as a ball club, and you have seen it in the last few days against a team that if you give them an extra out, they will beat you. And Tampa Bay Rays are a team that if you play your best game, they might still beat you. They've been that good this year to the tune of 41 wins. Okay, 617-779-7937, text line at 37937. Do want to hop into the lineup a little bit here and just kind of where we're at with all of this. And the Red Sox today muster up two runs on six hits. Five of those six hits come from the combination of Alex Verdugo and Masataka Yoshida. There are a few things to walk through here. The first of all, just to start with a little bit of light, Alex Verdugo has been awesome. He's been awesome all year long. That OPS, as you know, at 833, to be the guy at the top of the lineup, to be the guy that really exclusively has been the great leadoff hitter for the Red Sox this year. He's made his All-Star case. That's great. Masataka Yoshida, everybody was ready to set that contract on fire at the start of this year. I mean, it's unbelievable. I know you watch the Red Sox every day. You listen to the Red Sox every day. You know this, but I do really believe that it is entirely worth going through exactly where he's at as a hitter, because it has been extraordinary. Remember, after what was a terrible start to the year, he is hitting 318 in his first 51 major league games. His on-base percentage is 396, and he is slugging 505. That is to the tune of 14 doubles, one triple, and seven home runs for the Red Sox. And truly speaking, he and Alex Verdugo have carried the entirety of this offensive weight of late. And that takes you into, you know, what is really difficult about this. I think the first thing is Rafi Devers. This is not an indictment on Rafi Devers as a hitter in general. There's a reason they paid him all that money. I don't think anybody in the world, when they gave him that contract, was particularly disappointed about it. He is, and despite a slow start to this season, at 26 years old, one of the best hitters in baseball. He is somebody that when he steps into the plate, I don't care what his numbers are, if you are an opposing pitcher, you are nervous about it. And if you are an opposing manager, you are still in any way, shape, or form, doing everything you can to avoid him. All of that is true. And the other part of this is it is really hard for this team to win as presently constructed, a team that is, again, as we have said over and over again, attempting to win in the margins, a team that wants to play platoon splits, a team that does a very good job of using its bench. it's going to be really hard for this team to win, and we've seen it over the last few weeks now. You know, it's really a 23-24 game stretch where it has been a battle offensively in a lot of ways for a team that, largely speaking, has been good offensively, with Rafi Devers hitting .241, and that's not even really the problem. The problem is the on-base, and this is somebody who, in his career, has had, you know, the 2020 shortened season, remember, he didn't walk a ton, he didn't get on base a ton, but generally speaking, again, has been well above league average in the on-base category. And he comes in now after 56 games for him with an on-base percentage of .295. It's just really hard to have that guy, and they move him down to the cleanup spot in moments. We've seen him in the two spot in moments and all that, and today he's in that regular two spot, and that's where he's going to stick, unless it got really bad, which I don't think it will. He's still slugging. He's still hitting home runs. He's got 13 of them. He has extra base hits. He has the multi-hit games and the days where you kind of feel like he's there, but it's just, again, this team is not constructed for Rafael Devers to struggle. And I would bet everything I've got that it's not going to continue. I think just about any Red Sox fan would tell you that. But in this exact moment, sitting here trying to break it down and trying to understand some of the issues here on Sunday, June the 4th, that's as high on the list as just about any, and might be the highest here on the offensive list for the Red Sox. Justin Turner today is 0-for-4. He's been good. I think he has given you, after what was a little bit of a dip early in the season, he has given you, generally speaking, what you would hope for him. The slug has really come along for him. But the issue lies with really 5 through 9 in the batting order today. It is Jared Duran's hit. And again, Tristan Casas, and we've talked extensively, and everybody on the, you know, in the world wants to get on the phone. That is the call and the text that I get the most about Tristan Casas and him not hitting the way that people dream of him hitting and thought that he would. He gets on base twice today. Connor Wong today gets on base twice today. You know, you're asking a lot of Enmanuel Valdez in that 9 spot if you need a lot from him at this moment. He's 0-for-4 with a couple of strikeouts. They think, and I think, he's going to be a very good major league hitter. We have seen it in spurts. He's still slugging when you look at his numbers. But right now, he's a rookie going through his struggles at the major league level for the very first time. And so when you look at the lineup and the length that it needs, Rafael Devers being exactly where he is in this exact moment makes life very difficult when you want to score runs. And despite you get 3 hits from your leadoff man and you get 2 hits from your cleanup man, you get extra base power from both of those guys today. It was Verdugo with all 3 of his hits for extra bases. Life is still far too hard without your best hitter on paper and your best hitter, period, really, not hitting right now in Rafi Devers. And that's been the situation over the last few days, and not getting on base the way that they hoped he would. All of that said is, oh my goodness, when Will said this, and it's pretty clear, this team needs Adam Duvall. And I'm not saying he needs to be the guy who hit his way into having American League Most Valuable Player odds at the start of this year, but he is right up there with the most important bats in this Red Sox lineup. And it comes, I think, you know, not so much with what he can, you know, necessarily his full production, and you know, he doesn't need to come in here and beat the world and all of that. But if he comes in and he is some semblance of a threat, and he has come out to AAA, and if you look at what he's done in his rehab assignment, they're the kinds of numbers, not that rehab assignment numbers really matter even one iota, but I'm going to make them matter one iota, in that he's homered a couple of times in the last few days. He started his first 8 at-bats, and this comes from the great friend Tyler Murray from the Worcester Red Sox. He started 0-for-8 with 5 strikeouts in his AAA rehab assignment, and since that, he's 3-for-8. He's got a couple of home runs. He's got a double. He's walked 3 times, and he had 2 opposite field swings with home runs that looked like the guy that we saw, Adam Duvall. And again, this is somebody that, you know, again, I don't expect him to hit home runs at the clip that he did, you know, hitting 430, 440 something and leading the entirety of the major leagues at OPS and all of that. But I do think that when you look at what the lineup the Red Sox had on April 6th, which is the day that Adam Duvall got hurt diving for a ball in center field on what is now a fabled day in Detroit. When you look at that lineup, and you've got Verdugo in the one spot, and you've got Devers in the two spot, and I know I just said he's not hitting, he will hit again, and Turner in the three spot, and a Yoshida at that point who had not yet figured out major league pitching in the four hole. And then it's Duvall in the five spot. The difference between one through five being major league hitters that you have great belief in, and right now it really being one through four and hoping for the rest, and that's not a shot at Jarren Duran, who, for example, is in the five spot today and has been, generally speaking, a revelation for this team. But when you have one through five, and then you can put Duran down towards six, seven, eight, nine, Casas, who continues to hit balls harder over the last few weeks in six, seven, eight, nine, and then you can mix and match with the other couple between, you know, Kike Hernandez or Reese McGuire or Christian Arroyo or, you know, so on and so on. Today and Manuel Valdez and so on and so on. The lineup just becomes that much longer and that much better. And it's just it's a different conversation about this lineup. And the deal is because there is so much on Devers, right? Because you look at him as the guy that can shoulder the offensive load. If he's not hitting, and he's not hitting with Verdugo and Yoshida hitting, it just becomes kind of a, where else do we turn? And there just aren't a lot of places for the Red Sox to turn offensively right now. You know, and I played this in pregame. Alex Cora said something after game one yesterday to the effect of, the kids are going to struggle. They have a complete and utter understanding. You know, Tristan Casas could turn out to have a good year. And Manuel Valdez can turn out to have a good year. Connor Wong can turn out to have a good year. And so on and so on. But there's no world where you're going to ask players to come in and have rookie of the year caliber years. It's just not, it's not a thing that you rely upon. And when you look at these guys, that they're, when they are all in pockets of slumps, and that's going to happen again over 162, but it's all happening right now. And for I said this about Valdez, he's a great hitter. He's going to hit. I really, you know, again, there's too much of a minor league sample size there and the success that he had early on. But these are not guys that you put the full weight of an offense on. And so without Adam Duvall, again, it just continues to be that much harder. And so his return cannot come soon enough for the Boston Red Sox. Again, Red Sox Review, Cooper Boardman with you. We're live at Fenway Park, 617-779-7937. Text line open as well, and I see those at 37937. Duvall is now eligible to come back on Friday, so I guess it'll be interesting to kind of see what they do. We were surmising about this during the broadcast. You know, does he go to Cleveland? They just finished, the Woo Sox did, in Louisville, playing the Reds affiliate, the Louisville Bats there. And so, you know, he's going to come back, I assume, here. The Red Sox are going to play tomorrow, and then it'll be decision time in terms of, do they get him more at-bats? Alex Cora, you heard it a little bit pregame, saying, we want at-bats from him right now. We want games from him right now. And that is the way to get the timing back. But do we see him in Cleveland in the dugout, or do we see him in Worcester during the week? That remains to be seen. What we do know is that whether it be Friday, when he is first eligible to come off of that series in New York against the Yankees in those three games, whether it be Saturday or Sunday or so on, we're going to see Adam Duvall very soon, and it will be a confetti bath to have him back for the Red Sox. And then there will be decisions. And again, Alex Cora has been asked about this. I don't think anybody who asked him about this expected a legitimate full answer about it, because the Red Sox don't have to make any choices about it. But they will have decisions to make about this outfield. Alex Verdugo and Masataka Yoshida are obviously not going anywhere, and today made that case even further. But then there will be decisions in this outfield between Jarren Duran. I'm just naming the names here. Jarren Duran, Rob Refsnyder, and Raimel Tapia. And I don't know what you do. I don't. There's no obvious answer there. There's no obvious move. Duran is the guy of those few that has options, but he's, and I know he hasn't hit over the last few weeks, you know, relative to what he was doing early in the year, but be a heck of a thing, I think, to send him down. So, again, there are a lot of decisions to be made over the next few weeks, and the Red Sox certainly will. But we do know, again, the Adam Duvall train is on its way back here to Boston. Okay, we will get to a break here, and we'll get to your text. We do, again, still want to talk about Tanner Houck. Alex Cora with some interesting thoughts about him and how this rotation shapes up. That is my biggest thought, my biggest question over the next few weeks is what this rotation actually looks like and why the Red Sox have, I think, in my mind, a lot of good to feel about today from Tanner Houck. We'll get to that in a moment. It's Red Sox Review. We take your calls and texts next right here on WEEI.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Runner goes. The pitch is grounded into the vacated hole for a base hit. Verdugo racing in. He's got to hurry because they're going to wave Margot home. Valdez's relay is not nearly online. Throw to second goes into center field. The Bad News Bears routine is going to give the Rays another run. Two runs in. It is 6-2, and that's one of the worst plays of the entire season.
It's hard to think of anything more ugly than that. That was awful.
We got to keep preaching good defense. We got to coach them. At the end, it's on me. You know, I'm the manager of this club, and we've been sloppy. So, you know, it's not about pointing fingers, right? You know, the roster is a roster, and we have to play better baseball. But, you know, I'm the manager of this team, and, you know, defensively, we're not good. We're not, you know, and we keep working. We're going to show up early, and we're going to keep talking in place, and we're going to coach the players until we get it right. When? I don't know. You know, if it's tomorrow, is 59 games too late, you know, but we just got to keep going.
That is producer Justin Turpin delivering again. Welcome back on Red Sox Review. Cooper Boardman here with you. 6-2 final today against Tampa Bay Rays. 617-779-7937. Text line 379-37. Well, I think it's all kind of said right there. And again, Alex Cora, I think if you are a Red Sox fan, you know, and a texter makes this point. Welcome back. We're live at Fenway Park, by the way. And a texter makes a very good point just about kind of, I won't read the whole thing, but just breaking down where that throw should have gone. And obviously, the throw should not have gone where it needed to. Then certainly it shouldn't have been skipping back towards the center field wall to allow that home run there. I know it's not actually a home run, but boy, did it feel like it.
That was awful.
I want to give Joe a hug. Terp, can you play one more time?
That was awful.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, that's good. I think that's exactly what Alex Cora said postgame. I mean, he's so frustrated. And I think, again, if you're a Red Sox fan, that's what you want to hear from your manager. You don't want to hear him come in, sit down, and say, okay, well, you know, we just have a regular postgame. And the frustration in his voice is so real. You can just hear how real it is. You can understand exactly how he feels. And the texter in that, you know, says they're Major League Baseball players. They're capable of making the plays. They just haven't made the plays. And it really does come for them, you know, whether it be focus, whether it be decision-making, whether it be anything else, it's got to change. And I think there's really kind of no question about that. Now, the analytical look at this is the Red Sox come in at a -9 outs above average. And the definition there is basically it's a ranged base metric of skill to see how many outs a player has saved. And so this is not even really necessarily breaking down errors specifically. It's more about just kind of how the Red Sox play defense left to right, back and front, and so on and so on. The Red Sox came in 25th in baseball in outs above average. They are actually outs below average, that a minus 9. They are down there with the Reds and the Rockies and the Twins. What's interesting is the Braves and the Orioles are right there. And so, again, you can win with bad defense. The Philadelphia Phillies last year were a minus 38 in the OAA category. They were second worst. You can win with bad defense. You can win not being at the upper echelon of that. But I will tell you this. It's really hard to win. When you look at the, again, this is just the analytical version of what you saw and heard on that play right there and what you have seen and heard, especially over the last few days and all year long, as Alex Cora put it to us the other day, we're not a good defensive team right now. But the number version of all of this is, I'll read you the top few teams last year that were among the best in terms of outs above average last year. Number one were the Arizona Diamondbacks. They were not a very good team. Then you have the Astros, Padres, Cardinals, Yankees, Guardians, Mets, Dodgers, Braves, and Blue Jays. 90% of those teams were playoff teams last year. That's the point. The Astros, who of course were the best team in baseball at the end of last year, were second. Your path to being a good team is a lot easier when you play good defense. Hot take with the analytics there, but it's true. And there are a lot of different ways to go through it. There are a lot of different ways to break it down. But I do believe that no matter what you say, what you heard there from Alex Cora is exactly what the point is. The significant frustration in his voice. And I just keep going back to that, the feeling from him, for a guy that is so even-keeled and even-tempered. To hear him that way, again, tells you everything you need to know. And he has the great understanding of how hard it is to win, how hard it is to beat the Tampa Bay Rays, how hard it is to compete in the best division of baseball. It's the kind of thing that in the margin you can't really afford to give up. And I think, again, I'll just say this one more time. This is a team that is constructed to win in margins. And that is not a shot. It's not a bad thing. It's hard to win. And this team has put together a roster that, you know, Alex Cora plays the platoons very well late in games. You know, to have Raimel Tapia as a weapon that comes off the bench, to have Rob Refsnyder as a weapon against left-hand pitching, and then obviously you've got your regular lineup and your regular guys and so on and so on. When you commit errors the way the Red Sox did today, when that ball rolls into center field, when Alex Verdugo makes the wrong decision on that throw, you don't allow yourself to do what you do well. The Red Sox felt like they had a chance to win a lot of close games. We saw that. It didn't happen in May. Happened a lot in April. That's not an accident. That's the way this team is constructed. They're good at that. If you're in a close game, this is a Red Sox team that in the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th innings, I believe, and we've seen a lot of proof of it, really does have a chance to beat you. They really will win more games than they lose if it's tight. But the problem is, when you play poorly defensively, it's a lot harder to keep games tight against a team like the Tampa Bay Rays. And that is the start of the conversation on the way to what the Red Sox are going to play over the next few weeks. And you know, we've looked at schedules before, and I remember doing this back right before the season started and saying, oh, okay, well, you're going to play the Orioles, and obviously the Orioles have turned out to be good. And so, you know, that's become a much better series victory that the Red Sox had to open the season than even you thought at the time. You had the Tigers, who they took advantage of at the time. And then you looked at the schedule and you said, oh boy, like I don't really know where the wins are going to come from. And all of a sudden, they're playing real good baseball against those teams. But if you are not playing well defensively, you are making your life against the Guardians, the Yankees again, the Twins, and then the Blue Jays to close the month as well. It's just going to be really, really hard to win, and Alex Cora said as much the other day as well. So, again, that's where it sits right now from a defensive perspective. Wanted to give you the numbers perspective of it as well, because I do think, you know, it's one thing to sit here and say it. It's another thing to understand where we are in the context of everybody else in outs above average and defensive runs saved and the like. And the Red Sox right now, with that and out conversions, are just not where they need to be. The manager knows that. We know that. And the only question to ask right now is, does it change? Only time will tell. Red Sox Review here with you, taking you up till 6 p.m., 617-779-7937, 379-37 on the text line as well. Cooper Boardman with you, Justin Turpin in our flagship studios holding it down at WEEI as well. I do want to shift gears here and get into the Tanner Houck deal here and the starting rotation deal here. If you missed pregame, or maybe you were just in and out during the game or whatever, just some interesting stuff. The first is Cutter Crawford appears as though with the Chris Sale injury, he is going to be the choice to go back into the rotation. I love that. I love his stuff. I think when you look at the quality of his stuff versus everybody else, and when you look at the consistency with which he's pitched, it's not easy to go back and forth, and he's done it over the last few years. That's a guy that I would love to see get more starts. And I, you know, again, you've got a lot of guys going through transitions. It's tough to say you've got, you know, to add another guy to that heap, but he is an unknown. And I love the idea of having that and kind of saying, all right, you know, what's this guy going to be able to give us? And, you know, when you go into it a little bit deeper in the Cutter Crawford numbers, the underlying stuff really, really does support him. I think he's earned the opportunity. I think that he has pitched well enough to deserve that opportunity. And now it's about, all right, what's he got for you? That is part of a rotation that is now does not have Chris Sale. Has Garrett Whitlock going through a transition. You see some good, you see some not so good, and we saw that a little bit in yesterday's start. Corey Kluber, it seems, is firmly going to stick in the bullpen. Here's what I'll say about Corey Kluber, and I know today, and he's on the mound for that brutal play, and so, I mean, he's got two earned runs charged to his ledger. Tough couple of runs. What we have seen from him out of the bullpen is a propensity to be the guy that he was against or with the Tampa Bay Rays last year, which is one of the best he was statistically, percentage-wise, the best strike thrower in all of Major League Baseball last year. And if he doesn't have to pitch perhaps as carefully, perhaps that is something that can vault him back into being that guy, because he flat out did not throw enough strikes as a starting pitcher the way that they thought he would. And the Red Sox talked about all offseason long, and understandably so, about reclaiming the strike zone, about being a team that throws strikes consistently out of the bullpen in the starting rotation. Alex Cora said it today at his postgame press conference. One of the biggest differences between the Tampa Bay Rays, and even though they walked some guys today, but just in this series and over this season, one of the biggest differences between the Tampa Bay Rays and the Boston Red Sox right now is strike throwing. Well, today, Corey Kluber comes out there. He throws 26 out of 34 strikes, 76%. The major league average is right around 63% in a giving outing. He was much, much better. And I do believe, despite the couple of runs allowed, that is going to play. That is going to long-term be much, much better than what we have seen from Corey Kluber in the starting rotation in his not inability to throw strikes. That's not fair, because he's just kind of dwindled down to league average in that, but not be the elite strike thrower that he is. The guy that caved 139 over 164 in his age 36 season last year with the Tampa Bay Rays. It is a much different guy than the 6.25 ERA that we have seen to this point from him. That is Kluber, and as you go piece by piece here, now it's about the guy on the mound. Tanner Houck, starting pitcher today for the Boston Red Sox. Five innings, five hits, four earned, four walks, and six strikeouts. He didn't throw enough strikes, to be honest, four walks over those five innings. And again, as the guys told you during the broadcast, as we have said a couple of times here, all four of the walks that he dealt, all four scored. And that, again, tells you a lot of what you need to know. I will say this about Tanner Houck, because I am a believer in the underlying stuff. If you're not a believer, your life is going to be a lot harder, because that's the way decisions are made. So get with it. He came in with a 5.30 ERA, his expected ERA based on quality of contact, ball locations, and so on, was a lot lower than that at a 3.80. When you look at, and people want to keep having this conversation about, you know, number of times through the order. We know he can be an elite reliever. He's shown he can be an elite reliever. But when you look at his stuff, the stuff, when it and it's about, again, harnessing it all, but the stuff really does play. And I am so earnestly a believer in the stuff. you know, the swings and misses. When you look at his, oh my gosh, when you look at his swings and misses, truly, and this is why the Red Sox have him in the rotation and are unfazed by struggles externally. Because when you combine, you know, the category that basically, if we're going to take a Venn diagram, right, imagine all the different circles that you could have of a given stat, whether it be the amount of swings and misses he gets, or the amount of strikes he throws, or the quality of his fastball or slider, et cetera, et cetera. When you take that Venn diagram and you can put all those circles and you look at the guys that overlap in the middle of his whiff, of his expected on base, of all of these different numbers, too many to count, but he is in the elite of elite category. He is up there in those categories with Jacob DeGrom, with Shane McClanahan, with Shohei Ohtani, with Brandon Woodruff, with Nathan Eovaldi, old friend, with Joe Ryan. I can keep going with these names. That's where Tanner Houck is. And what you are watching right now, I believe, is not someone who is incapable of being a great major league pitcher or anything like that, people want to say. What you are watching is a guy with stuff of the caliber of all of those names that I just said, trying to figure out how to be a major league starter at 26 years young. That's it. That's what you're watching. And I recognize that when he gives up four runs over five and we're walking out of the ballpark on a rainy day where there were errors and all kinds of things, there's frustration. And I see that here on the text line about all of that. But that's the guy that I am willing to believe in. That is the guy that I'm willing to give the torch to and see what happens next. And it's not easy when it hasn't been good and the month of May results-wise hasn't been good or wasn't good. And even today here into June was not obviously where he wants to be. But as Alex Cora put it postgame, and I agree with this about him, is his line wasn't as bad, or his stuff and his day wasn't as bad as the line says. Now, that said, the line matters, and I'm not going to discount that. And he would tell you, Tanner Houck is one of the most accountable players that I as accountable as anybody I've ever heard, standing up there and talking it through about where he's at right now. But right now is about kind of figuring all of that out. And I think when you look at him relative to all of the other options, the difference between, you know, I wouldn't move Corey Kluber back. I like him as a strike thrower in the bullpen. Garrett Whitlock and the quality of his stuff isn't going anywhere, and I don't think it should as well, though he's in a very similar conversation to Tanner Houck, and you understand both sides of the argument. Brian Bello is going to get his run. Nick Pivetta is, I mean, Nick Pivetta is outstanding out of the bullpen, and we kind of have seen the starter movie from him before. He is somebody as well that lives in the stuff category, but had not really fully been able to do it over 162 from a final ERA or FIP or anything like that perspective. I don't know what Tanner Houck is going to be over 162, and I am fixing to find out what that looks like, because at a certain point, that stride is going to be there. They believe it's going to be there. And, I mean, obviously time's going to tell here, but I just based on all of that, there's just too much behind it that I can certainly talk myself into it and then some. Red Sox Review, we're live from Fenway Park. I'm Cooper Boardman here with you. 617-779-7937. Text line is available as well at 379-37. Red Sox falling again by a final score of 6-2 against the Tampa Bay Rays. We've got one more tomorrow here at Fenway. It'll be a 4:05 first pitch between the Sox and the Tampa Bay Rays. That'll be a good one, too. We will get into that. We've got to get you to a break in a minute here, but we will get into what all of this looks like over the next few days. Shane McClanahan takes the mound. Obviously, that is not the test that you want to be facing necessarily, the game that you need to win to get a split. Brian Bello will get the start for the Red Sox as well, coming in at 3-3 with a 3.89. But he's another one, Brian Bello. Again, I'll get to him in just a moment here. But he's another one that you just they are making an active decision to go with the youth. And based on the options they have, I don't mind it, especially after the Sale injury as well. Okay, we will get to that break, and then when we come back, we'll break it down. Get to the final text here as well. We take you up till 6 p.m. right here on Red Sox Review, 617-779-7937, text line at 37937. We're back in a moment. It's Red Sox Review live from Fenway Park right here on WEEI.
From the Rubenstein Law Studios, 1-800-BOS-LEGAL. This is WEEI, New England's sports original. Everything Boston Red Sox. This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Welcome back to Red Sox Review, live from Fenway Park. Cooper Boardman here with you, 617-779-7937. Text line at 37937. 6-2 loss for the Sox against the Tampa Bay Rays on a rainy Sunday afternoon. Supposed to be the final game of the series, but remember, Friday night was rained out, so we got a game tomorrow, 4:05 p.m., 3:05. MassMutual Red Sox pregame show for you live here from Fenway. The Red Sox today dropped the game. And so the series becomes 2-1. Rays had a chance to even that up tomorrow. They're going to have to do it against Shane McClanahan, which is terrifying, obviously. His Cy Young season last year at a 2.54 ERA, he is below that. He has not allowed more than four runs in a start. One time all year he has allowed four runs. Every other start has been two runs or fewer. The Red Sox have seen him one time, five innings of one-run ball back on April the 11th. And, hey, who knows? It's been a wonky series with the rain and tough defense and all sorts of things. So that's the manifestation for tomorrow. The Red Sox get a little something. And Brian Baio gets a big start tomorrow for the Sox. The kid who has been really good in moments is going to try to have potentially his biggest start of the season against the Tampa Bay Rays. Again, Red Sox Review, we take you up until 6 p.m., so if you got a final call or a final text, get it in here. Appreciate all your activity on the text line today at 37937. Call lines open as well if you want it, 617-779-7937. 6-2 loss, there weren't, to be honest, an extraordinary number of positives, but for the Sox, there was one, and his name is Masataka Yoshida.
0-1 is ripped down the right field line, and this is going to tie the game. Verdugo rounds third. He will score. The throw goes to second. Yoshida delivers again. 33rd RBI, and it's 1-1 at Fenway.
Will Fleming from today's Nissan Red Sox postgame show and your quest for savings at the Nissan Thrill the Drive sales event. Shop your local Nissan store or NissanUSA.com today. Masataka Yoshida had two hits. Alex Verdugo had three hits, all of them for extra bases. That was five out of the six hits on the day for the Boston Red Sox in a 6-2 loss against the best team in baseball, the Tampa Bay Rays. The Rays now, if you could just allow me for a moment, are 42-19. And I thought, generally speaking, although Tanner Houck, the Red Sox starter today, gave up four runs over five innings, Alex Cora echoed the sentiment I'm about to say as well. It wasn't that bad. And again, there, you know, a few balls found holes. The walks killed them. Can't have four walks against this team. They'll make you pay. They're the best hitting team against left-hand pitching in Major League Baseball, and they look like it today. I broke it down from my end, but before we go, I do want to hear from Tanner Houck, because he is somebody that is always impressive and analytical in the way that he breaks himself down. So let's get to that. Tanner Houck, who made the start today, again, five innings, five hits, four earned, four walks, six Ks. He takes the loss now down to 3-5. And here he is postgame after the loss against the Rays.
Definitely not my best outing. With command-wise, four walks, unacceptable. Just got to be better. So one of those things where come back, work tomorrow, just, you know, try and work out the kinks, and just continue to go about it. Just make a few small adjustments here and there, and just keep going.
And you're ultimately the team guy. How frustrating was this today for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, we know we got to be better. We know we got to play better. We got to pitch better. You know, I'll take responsibility for my end, always. Four walks is unacceptable. Put you in a bad spot to where those, you know, leadoff walks come around and score. So just got to be better. You know, it's one of those things where you just got to show up each day, do the little things right, continue to work, and just go out there and play hard. Like you said, it's a tough division, but that's what you want. You want to, you know, beat the best and play against the best. So you just got to show up each day and really just continue to work. It's a long season, and, you know, just do the little things right. Yeah, for me, I always look at the stuff that I can do better. Going back to the walks, command-wise, wasn't in the zone enough with all my pitches. And just really got to continue to work, refine, and just continue to show up each day and not really give in.
Tanner Houck, you can hear the gears turning there for him. Red Sox again falling 6-2 against the Tampa Bay Rays. Cooper Boardman with you live from Fenway Park, 617-779-7937. Text line at 37937 as well. Only got a few more minutes to do it. Get those texts, get those calls in. Look, you know, for Tanner Houck again, I really do think you're kind of hearing the gears turn for him. This is a guy, and I've said this again and again, but he's figuring it out at this level, and today against a really good lineup, he fought the walks, as he put it, unacceptable. Can't be there. Five innings of four-run ball, and those four runs directly tied. All four walks came in to score. But we do know this, and this is kind of the part of the day where I get into my takeaways from it. I know, you know, that the Tanner Houck kind of figuring it out is frustrating. At the end of the day, that's part of a 6-2 loss today. He's in this rotation, and this is a guy that they have extraordinary belief in, and he's going to stay there. Cutter Crawford, you know, on his way back to the rotation, it seems, at least for the immediate future with Chris Sale's injury. That's the guy I would have picked to if I, you had to point to somebody. And Lou Merlone's been on this, and Will Fleming's been on this too from the start about the quality of his stuff. We're going to see it, and I think, you know, there's a lot to like about it, especially with some of the offensively challenged teams that you're going to see over the next month or so, including the Guardians, including the Rockies. And that's before you get into the Twins and the White Sox a little bit later on. You do have the Yankees in there. They are hitting a little bit as well. But, that point still stands. You know, for the Red Sox, the last few pieces of information today, and we started the day with this, and it's just one more in case you weren't with us earlier. Joely Rodriguez going to the IL with what they are calling left shoulder inflammation. I am so sick of left shoulder inflammation. I never want to hear those three words again together, left shoulder inflammation, between Chris Sale and Joely Rodriguez and everybody else that has had it this year. Ryan Sheriff back down to AAA, and imagine that at some point you might see him again. Thought Caleb Ort was really, really impressive today. I know there have been some struggles early on, but he went back down. If you know me, my background is in Worcester. He's been in Worcester the last few weeks. He's looked really good in Worcester. You know, he's thrown some more strikes. The stuff has been good. I know there's some frustration there within the fan base, but give it a chance because that what he did today looked like a guy that has a chance to stay here in Boston, and then Brennan Bernardino also on the roster as well. All right, that music means I got to get out of here, so I will do that. Again, the Red Sox falling by a final score of 6-2 against the Tampa Bay Rays here today. Appreciate all you hanging out on a long and rainy and all sorts of things day here at Fenway Park. The good news is we get to do it again tomorrow. Again, the Probables, Shane McClanahan for Tampa Bay and Brian Bayo for your Boston Red Sox. 3:05 on the Mass Mutual Red Sox pregame show, 4:05 on the first pitch. And what is a big stretch? 23 games in 23 days for the Sox. We'll have everything you need to know, of course, as you know, right here on WEEI. Okay, we will talk to you soon. For Griff Ward here at Fenway Park, for Justin Turpin in our flagship studios, I'm Cooper Boardman saying so long. You've been listening to Red Sox Review right here on WEEI.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And
watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.